Hello there, we're in the World House, House of the Rocky Nugu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's our privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
Hallelujah. How many of you have seen your victory? How many of you know the battle belongs to the Lord? No matter how intense it is, it's not your battle. And because it's not your battle, the victory is guaranteed. I prophesy to somebody, you will win at the end of the battle. I said you will win at the end of the battle. In the mighty name of Jesus, shout a living amen.
Amen.
Shout a better amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want you to bow down your head. Hold hands with somebody wherever you are. Somebody is fighting a battle. Somebody is dealing with a situation. Somebody is passing through some turbulence. And you're holding hands with them, even if for 60 seconds, can make a lot of difference. I want you to just pray for that person you are holding, but on your left and on your right. Father, let this battle end in victory. Let this battle end in victory. I don't know what she's going through. I don't know what is passing through, but let it end in victory. Come on, can you pray for the person? Shabedemo zibede kotoboro yakata. Jambroske de videbolo sute barakata. Greba demo zivedente lebo silemontagashila. Zaza koko brede kasute bele krebe de kosa. Marwa zedebe eskibela kotamarandi gazule. Zezibe di korobo bobo boko sute bidi kasaya. Shandro bezevilite bilikotomo selevites. Inkrobi kasuta balanda jila kratakaka. Koko brende gazile brekete kosila. In toto brende gazele bedo kosili monto broko sevi. Libeda kosaloshke lebedekia. In cross keveli mama subrede kesita. Shkebalto prunde gazili brende kosata baba. Shalabras katavidi vrede kosia. In tomele kosi papa papa. Zasmanta brikato prende koseti. Ilikora baba bako shata. In the name of Jesus Christ. Final prayer you're going to pray now. Still holding hands with that person. You're going to pray concerning your own battles. And say, Lord, I see victory at the end of this battle. Turn it around for my good. Whatever the enemy meant for evil, let it work for my good. Can you go ahead and pray for yourself? Shando babo razumende. Bele gozi bedi koso monte badi. Ili koroti seminto balakash kabra. Zaza mambro seve dividika. Alibre de kosi tomenke libro koto. Rebe de kos kempeli grebe de kokoria talabanda. Ashata tali karo silimentila. Besveli kote milikoto. Jari katura bazale mariante redekos. Ebele korome kasute vilikataya. Rebe bebebe kosonto bibi loros kibadia. Atabalash monte bidiko site ble roske bilivroske manto brakatato ekrebiko sumente brakata papayato into librende gazila garaba baba baba kosheta isko brede me kosile rebido ko rambo shalavidi kosile mentaya jatata ligari gagagazurata agraba ko sambobo koshete bidikosia elibredi kosondo rapa popo kosile botoshia rebos monte vikarabo koseplegi lebeko in Jesus mighty name we pray. I said in Jesus mighty name we pray. If you believe God for the victory, can you give Him a clap? Can you give Him a shout? Can you give Him praise in the house? Now help me look for 5 people who have the victory around you and just help me congratulate them and say, I congratulate you for the victory that you already have in your hands. Look at 5 people. Can you make it 10 people? Make it 10 people and tell them congratulations. Congratulations for the victory I know you already have. Congratulations. Make it up to 10 people before you take your seat. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I want to welcome every one of you to this auspicious moment in God's presence. All right? I want to welcome every one of you. Just turn to your neighbor, just one person, and just shake hands with them and say, welcome to church. To all of you worshiping online, we want to say we love you and we're excited that you are tuned in either live or after the service. Whichever, we're happy for the access you granted unto us, and God will come true for you in Jesus' name. I want to appreciate every one of you for making Accelerate Conference a true, true success. Is it okay if we just celebrate God for Accelerate Conference? Your clap is not encouraging enough. Come on, let's appreciate Him. Hallelujah. We want to thank God for all His choice servants that He used to be a blessing to us. Apostle Michael Orokmo, Prophet Joshua Folabi. We want to thank God for every one of them for the sacrifice that they all made to be here. Amen. I said amen. The word accelerate means changing gear. Another meaning of accelerate means to change gear. Am I correct? Please answer me, am I correct? And as we change gear in 2024, we are going to be commencing two things that God has instructed. Remember, if you were here on the Saturday morning, God told us it's time to cross over. Who remembers that? All right. And that was not an instruction just for individuals. It was for us as a church family. So our five-hour prayers on Saturday morning commences from this Saturday. The bad news is your clapping or not clapping will not stop it. The good news is that it will take place. So I think you might as well clap, whether or not you are going to come. All right. So now, if you don't like prayers, that's okay. Really, it's not by force. But we're not doing it because we want to do it. We're doing it because it's a divine instruction. If we're going to enter into endless possibilities that God has for us as a church family, and every time we say as a church, please, I always want you to remember, the church is not this building. The church is not the pews. The church is not this pulpit. The church is you. Does anybody understand me? So I don't know what are those endless possibilities in front of you. Those things that God has already ordained you. All you need to do is to stretch the hand of faith and enter into it by positive action, which is one of the actions God is commanding for us to come together and pray. If you want to get results that you have never seen before, you must be ready to do things you've never done before. Does it make any sense? Please talk to me. Does it make any sense? So gentlemen, every Saturday morning, we're going to be here from 7 a.m., 5 hours. All other programs change. Choir rehearsal, housekeeping. Anytime you want to fix your program, go ahead and fix it. That's your bloody business. This one is the business that I have with God. And everyone, every other program aligns with it. And it's not for 1 month, it's forever. Number two, we're going to commence between the hours of 8 p.m. and 9 p.m. every night. For the next 21 days, we're going to be having what we call we call it post-accelerate prayers. They're going to be intense prayers for 1 hour, and it's purely online. This particular one is not physical, it's online. So from the comfort of your bedroom, join us. Let's pray together every single day. Why is God commanding us so much about prayer? Because there are endless possibilities in front of us. And the only way to enter it, I don't know about any other way to enter it, except to pray. So if you know any other way, please borrow me your idea. But this is the one that God instructed us to pray. So from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. every evening, free your calendar. Relax in your bed, get a cup of coffee, get a cup of tea, cup of juice, whichever one applies to you. Sit down in the comfort of your bedroom or parlor and join us in prayer on our Telegram handle. And in case you don't have the Telegram handle, it's going to be put on the screen. Is that okay? Okay. The other good news again is that your amen or no amen, we still not stop it anyway. So just say the amen. Since you're not saying it, won't stop it. You know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. The days ahead of us are going to be more turbulent. And if God is calling us for prayer, there is a reason for it. Is that okay? Answer me, is that okay? Okay, the men's conference will be coming up on the first week of August, but details on that will come later on. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, let's go straight into the business of the day. If you don't mind, let's stand up together and read the scripture in Isaiah 40, 31. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Isaiah 40, 31. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Let's do it together now, everybody, to go. They shall mount up with wings as eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Bless your word, Heavenly Father. And in this series that we are starting today, I pray that you will speak to our hearts, change our lives, impact our destinies, turn around our circumstances and situation. Let Jesus be seated in the very throne of our lives, and let the will of God, as has been ordained from the foundation of the world, be done in our lives just as it is in heaven. At the end, all glory will come to you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Once again, please, if you don't mind, let's put our hands together and give God praise this morning. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. All right. So, gentlemen, we're starting a series titled Taking Flight. Everybody say Taking Flight. I can hear you say Taking Flight. How many of you would like to fly to Lagos instead of bus to Lagos? Anybody like that? You like to fly to Lagos instead of bus to Lagos? Do I have anybody like that? Okay. So, this is basically still speaking or flowing from accelerate. Because when you accelerate, Isaiah told us there are three possibilities of acceleration. Isaiah talks about number one, they shall walk and not faint. So there's walking. You can accelerate. How many of you know you can be walking like this before? Suddenly you now accelerate. Start walking like this. Who knows what I'm talking about? Did you accelerate? You did. But you are still walking. You are still walking. Then he talked about run. He says, they shall run and not be weary. So you were just running small like this. You now say, you know what? I don't vex. I won't accelerate. You started running like this. Did you accelerate? Why are you looking at me like I fell from the moon? Did you accelerate? You accelerated. Because now you are running faster than you used to run. Am I correct? But there was one that Isaiah did not add. Because Isaiah is from the north. He has never seen river before. So Isaiah did not remember that. Ships also accelerate. So another way to accelerate is to accelerate by way of... So Isaiah didn't see car, he didn't see ship. Okay, so he didn't quite understand that, okay, you can also accelerate by way of a ship. In other words, so how do I put it now? Yeah, you can sail, exactly. It's supposed to be on my slide, am I right? Okay, it's somewhere on my slide, if I'm not mistaken. You can also sail, you can accelerate. You know, and when it comes to ships, when it comes to boats, there are different levels of speed. But then again, beyond that also, you can also accelerate by driving. By driving. In other words, you were driving in gear 2 before. And you decide to move to gear 4 or gear 3. And I think there are some cars that even have gear 5. Is that true? Fantastic. There are cars even have. So that's also accelerates. But then Isaiah spoke about another level of acceleration, which he calls mounting up with wings as eagle. That's a different level of acceleration, which is what we call taking flight. So if I were to give you a choice as we start this series, between walking, between running, using ship, using your car, and taking a flight, which one will you prefer to take you to London? I didn't hear you. So let me see how many people, let me know whether to change this sermon to taking sail or taking run. Or taking walk instead of taking flight. Whichever I'm prepared. If you want us to take walk, I'm prepared. Let me see the hands. How many people want to fly? Let me see your hand. If we have majority, fantastic. We have minority, no problem. Anyone you want, I give it to you. I'm ready for it. I'm anointed for it. Let me see again. How many people want to fly? All right. I prophesy over your life. As your hand goes up, so will your life go up. Your destiny will go up. Your finances will go up. Your ministry will go up. Your vision will go up. Your marriage will go up. Your expectations, your dreams will go up. As you lift up those hands, I declare you will never come down again in the name of Jesus. Shout a better amen. Amen. All right. So, three quick information I want you to note about taking flight. Number one, can I have the slides? Ladies and gentlemen, over time, life will separate people based on their results. Over time, life will separate you based on your results. I know you were all born together in the same environment. I know you all attended the same classroom. Or the same class, I'm sorry. I know both of you were in the same fellowship. I know both of you attended the same club in school, drama club, debating club, whatever club. I know all of you used to hang out around in the university, but can I announce to you, not everybody who started together will end together. As time goes on, life will separate the boys from the men based on their results. If you are over 40 years old, this information should disturb you. It should come to you not as news because you're already experiencing it. Any 40 and above here? How many 40 and above have already seen what I'm talking about? Let me see your hands. You know, when I graduated from law school, we didn't have email, no internet, no WhatsApp, no mobile phones, let alone social media. So all of us said, God be with you till we meet again. We all meant heaven because there was no hope of seeing again. You know what I'm talking about? And then just last year, 30 years after law school, somebody formed a WhatsApp group and we all reconnected back again. It was the most emotional thing that happened to me. I saw my former girlfriend. Why are you laughing? Are you the only one that had a former girlfriend? Okay. I saw all kinds of people and I discovered that whilst we're all excited to come back together, not all of us could relate with each other again. It was the rudest shock I had. It was so rude that I'm like, we used to hang out before, so what's the problem? How come you're not as excited as I am? And I found out that not everybody is as excited as it was 30 years ago when we were all rolling on the same floor, jumping in the same class fund fellowship, doing stuff together. Not everybody was as excited. Some have become vice chancellors. Some are now court of appeal judges. Some are high court judges. Some of them are professors, deans of law faculty. In fact, it got so bad, I'll be honest with you, when we called for the first couple of online whatever, some people refused to join. I had to call one particular and I'm like, is there any problem? You don't want to join us? She looked at me and said, I'm married now for 20-something years, no child. He said, life has not been fair to me. I have no child. I have no job. In fact, she said, I am not even practicing law. I'm a cook. And by the time she finished telling me what she was going, even me, I started crying with her. I started crying. And I realized that not everybody was bold enough to come back and relate at the same level, because as life went on, we are being separated by results. By results. I pray for someone under the sound of my voice. By the time you meet your former colleagues, may you be at the upper end of results in the name of Jesus. I said, may you be at the upper end of the results in the name of Jesus. May you not be the one that everybody is concerned about, even and the lower ladder of results in the name of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the reality of the life in which we live. I don't care who she is. And please note, it's not based on your father's results. It's not based on your pedigree of your parents. It's on you. Life will separate you from friends. I always say to people who repeat final year, so they are very worried. Now my classmates are going to go ahead of me because I repeated 1 year. I say to them, calm down. When you meet your classmate 5 years later, nobody is asking, when did you graduate? Yes, you know what they are asking? What are you doing? Where are you working? Nobody is concerned. In fact, nobody even asks you, which grade did you make? Is anybody hearing me? Harvard, until Harvard introduced emotional intelligence, they discovered that most of their first class graduates were struggling in life. I'm telling you, this is fact. They did a 50-year survey of Harvard graduates and discovered that the most of the first class graduates were not only struggling in life, they were poor. Many of them were poor. That was when they realized that IQ, there was something more than IQ. So they introduced EQ, which is emotional intelligence, and discovered that, yes, you can come up with first class, but you can't manage a relationship. You can't deal with anger. You can't forgive people. And those things will hinder you and sabotage your destiny. That was when Harvard introduced EQ and began to teach people more than just making straight A's. Learn how to manage human beings. Learn how to deal with situations. When you experience a loss, learn how to develop what they call mental toughness. Can you imagine 4 children dying in one collapsed building in Jos? And I thought it was just the 4 children that died. And I'm told after then, the mother got the news, she too died. Then the father, was it the mother or the father? Both of them, I hear both of them died. I don't know which of them died first. The other one had rushed down there, discovered the wife too, that it too died. Life will happen to you guys. If you don't have mental toughness to be able to bounce back after a terrible experience, you won't survive life in spite of your first class. Because life is real and it will happen to you someday. I don't care how prayerful you are. I don't care how anointed you are. Is anybody hearing me? Ladies and gentlemen, the second thing I want you to know for time's sake, a mental shift may initiate a destiny lift, but only commensurate action will make it happen. Everybody say mental shift. I can't just say mental shift. For the light and say mental shift. How many of you remember in the olden days when we used to have this big satellite dish that powers your cable television? If you put on your television and suddenly you realize that is this not showing well, you say, Ngozi, climb the pole. He said, turn it this way. And they keep turning it until, wait, it's clear now, don't shift it again. Now, what many of you don't know is that while it looks like a little shift to the left or to the right in your house, you see, in the realm of satellite, that shift goes millions of miles into where the so-called satellite is. Is anybody hearing me? And it makes a connection that runs millions of miles apart from your house. It may look like a small shift, but it makes big difference. Is anybody understanding me this morning? That is why, ladies and gentlemen, it's important you have mental. Why did we fix Accelerate Conference and all the conferences? And so we want you to have a mental shift. We want you to be able to have a rethink of your situation. Do things differently and so on. But this is the point. A mental shift that is not backed up by commensurate action, ladies and gentlemen, will never, ever attract commensurate results. Now, I want you to understand this. And I want you to listen attentively to what I'm about to say. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, the sad truth about life is that there's no society in the world that 50% of the people will be successful. There's not one society. Not America, not UK, not Canada, of course not Nigeria. Let me bring it home. There is no church where 50% of the people will be successful. This is statistics I'm giving you. You know the reason? And it goes on. I don't care how anointed the man of God is. There are people that will never, there are people that, they will come, they are faithful, they are committed, but guess what? Shift doesn't take place in their life. The results don't come. And there's only one reason, it's not the devil. Interestingly, it's not the devil. You know the difference? It's very simple. Faith without work is what? I can't hear you. Faith without work is what? For the last time, faith without work is dead. You know, I was saying something here, I don't know which of the night, I think it was the last night of the program, I don't know whichever, I'm not too sure. And I said, this entire conference that I just taken place will be useless to you. And every other conference you have had, Ignite Conference, and all the other conferences, Marriage Summit, the other one, all of them will make nothing, no meaning to you. They will mean nothing to you. If at the end of each conference, you didn't take your iPad, your notebook, and write, number one, 2, 3 things I will start doing. Number two, 1, 2, 3 things I will stop doing. If it does not translate to action, ladies and gentlemen, you wasted your time. It was just another conference, and it will be the last one you will attend. There are people, talk from now till thy kingdom come. They are in church just waiting for miracle. When will the miracle take place? When next is Apostle Joshua Selman coming? When is Jerry Eze coming? When is this one coming? When will the miracle take place? When will it fall from heaven? It does not matter what you say. They're not interested. They know that God is a God of miracles. And they are waiting for miracles to happen. But what they don't know is that true success in life thrives on principles and processes, not on miracles. Is anybody hearing me?
There is a place for intervention. There is a place for divine visitation. There is a place for God to release this thing. But if your entire life is spent waiting for intervention, you will never move forward. You will never sustain growth and success. Because that's not how God designed life. God designed life along processes and principles. Is anybody hearing me? Please talk to me. Is anybody hearing me? That's why, ladies and gentlemen, faith that is real faith always goes with a plan. 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 A planless faith is a useless faith. It's a wasted faith. God will do it, is the prayer of an idiot. Did you hear what I said? Because God never designed to do it alone. He designed to do it in partnership with you. And the moment you remove yourself from the equation, you are behaving like a fool. Yes, God will do it, but God needs your cooperation. He's not a magician. Every time he wants to do it, there are instructions. There are things you must do. So when we instruct you and say, come, let us pray. Like I said, don't come. If you don't like prayer, there's no problem. Everybody must not grow. Everybody must not succeed. Everybody must not make it. There's no problem. We will lend you transport fare. We'll keep dashing you. That's the pathway you want to take. But don't forget, over time, life will separate people based on their results. So even those dashing you now won't dash you forever. A point will come, even to get them to dash you will be a problem. Is it making sense? Anybody that puts the responsibility of his destiny solely in the hands of God, that person is an irresponsible person. Anybody that puts the responsibility of his destiny, God, you are the only one that will do it. No, it's not true. God wants to do it, but he wants to do it with you. With you. With you. You know why? Anything God does for, if God gives you that level of success and it doesn't involve you, the way it came like that, that's how it's also going to go. Because you don't know the wisdom and the discipline it takes to sustain it. Is anybody hearing me? I stretch my hand towards you this morning and I declare, no devil will stop your rising this year. No devil will stop your rising this year. I said, no power on hell, in hell or in heaven will stop your rising this year. God will take you to the place of your dream. I declare that you will be at the upper end of the ladder of the equation of life in the mighty name of Jesus. I can't hear your amen. Amen. Number three, when your results don't validate your investment, please note a spiritual resistance may be involved. Every time results do not validate your investment, you compare the two of them. I have character. I work hard. I've gone to school. I have education. I'm obeying the word. Pastor, everything that was taught in that conference, I followed it. I listened to the instruction. I did what you say you should do. I sowed the seed. I did the other one. Pastor, I have done everything I should do. Every time, ladies and gentlemen, the results don't validate your investment. It's resistance that is spiritual may be involved. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 1 and 2. Now I will sing to my beloved, Isaiah 5:1-2. I will sing to my beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it, gathered out the stones thereof, planted it with the choicest vine, built a tower in the midst of it, and made a winepress therein. And he looked that after all my effort, he should bring forth grapes. Guess what happened? And it brought forth what? An evil one has done it. Because I've done everything I should do. I've planted, I cleared, I watered, I did everything that the agriculturists say we should do. At the end of the day, I was looking for grapes. Then I saw wild grapes. Every time you do what you should have done, the results don't match the investment. It's possible. There is a spiritual resistance. But that's why you came to church. That's why you are in church this Sunday morning. I don't care what's the color of the resistance. I stand in the name that is above every other name and I declare that resistance come down. I say resistance is broken. Resistance broken. Resistance collapse. I declare nothing will stop your advancement. Nothing will stop your lifting. Nothing will stop your rising. Can I hear a loud amen, somebody? In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And listen to this. Every evil hand between you and your rising, let it be cut off in the name of Jesus. Let it be cut off in the name of Jesus. All right, ladies and gentlemen, very quickly for time's sake, let me speak to you about this subject matter of taking flight as I deal on the subject matter, sub-subject of fighting the battles that hinder flight. Help me, Holy Spirit. I hope I can make it within my time. Fighting these battles that hinder flight. Gentlemen, the first question you want to ask is, of course, you know our scripture was Isaiah chapter 40. It says they will mount up with wings. In other words, they will fly as eagles. You remember that, right? All right. Question, what is flight? Flight is defined the natural and the norm. Everybody say flight is defined the natural and defined the norm. How many of you know natural men don't fly? We were never designed to fly. How many of you know that? So for you to fly, you are defying the natural, you are defying the norm. Pastor, what exactly do you mean by that? Listen to this. Based on your qualification, based on your family background, based on some of the things that you have around you, nobody expects you to rise beyond a particular level. They know your history. They know your family. They know your village. They know how far your father went, your elder brother went, and your uncle also went. So nobody expects you to rise beyond that point. But I came under this anointing to declare you will frustrate their expectations, disappoint their expectations. You will rise and break the norm in the name of Jesus. I said you will defy the natural in the name of Jesus. Shout a loud amen, somebody. Number two, flight is rising to greatness. Rising to greatness. Ladies and gentlemen, how many of you know nobody flies on the ground? For you to fly, you must mount up. Is it true, somebody? Talk to me, is it true, somebody? Now, that's why when they are asking you about which are the birds that fly. Now, how many of you know that you don't mention, ostrich has wings, but you don't mention it as a bird that fly. The chicken in your backyard has wings, but how many of you mention it as bird that fly? You don't. Are you still there, somebody? Your turkey has wings, but you never mention it as the birds that fly. Why? Because it's not enough to have wings. It must be able to take off. But this is the other interesting part of it. How many of you also remember, ladies and gentlemen, that every time you want to cook your stew, like some of you are going to, either you have cooked it already or you have going to cook it after church. How many of you remember that when they say, Ngozi, can I have some eagle in your stew? Come on, are you still there, somebody? Do you have hawk inside your stew? Huh? Okay, do you have dove inside your stew? You know why you don't use birds that crawl on the ground? Why you don't use birds that fly in your stew? You know why you don't use them? It's because the people that the devil use for pepper soup are people that crawl on the ground. The devil does not use high flyers for pepper soup. Check out the people that the devil is on their case. They're always crawling on the ground. Turkey, chicken. Come on, mention them now. I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning. Today is your last day of crawling on the ground. I said the devil will not use you for pepper soup any longer. The devil will not use you for pepper soup any longer. I declare from this day, take your flight. Take your flight. Take your flight. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, every man that flies, flies on the wings of grace. And that is the reason why, and I bring you to the third point, flight is when a man rises above reproach, above his background, and above the reproach of his past. And I don't care what your past looks like. What is flight, Pastor? It is when a man rises above reproach. Oh, she had a child when she was in university, so what? Oh, he has committed sin before, so what? Oh, he messed up before. Are you aware he has even been to prison before, so what? Flight is when, in spite of all the things that they say about you, guess what? You rise above reproach, above your sin, above your past, and above your background that people are talking about. I don't care how much you messed up. I came under this anointing to declare my assignment is to make sure, in spite of what happened in your past, you will still take flight in the name of Jesus. I said you will take flight in the name of Jesus. Number four, what is flight, Pastor? Flight is leading your colleagues. You all started in the same company. All of you were employed in the bank at the same time. But now, before their two eyes, you are area manager. Before their two eyes, you are regional manager. Before their two eyes, you are becoming MD. You started with them, but real flight is when you go ahead of them and begin to provide leadership for them. And that will be your story in the name of Jesus. My God, I said to be your story in the name of Jesus. Whatever makes you a turkey or chicken, I kill it this morning in the name of Jesus. I declare, in spite of what happened, you will take flight. You will lead your colleagues. You will stand ahead of your mates. And you'll be outstanding in the midst of your friends. In the name of Jesus. Your amen this morning is suffering from typhoid. Number five. Flight is defying the odds. Defying the odds. Ladies and gentlemen, are you aware that every flight takes a fight? Every flight takes a flight. Pastor, what do you mean by that? Now, I have no time. I didn't know that my time is already 8 minutes and I'm still introducing. But listen to this. And I don't have time because this is first service. But let me just mention this to you. Every flight takes a fight. And I'm sure most of you here, or a lot of you here, have flown before. Have you noticed that every time that plane, and by the way, the plane we're talking about, an average 747, Boeing 747, weighs approximately about 400. I'm not talking about Airbuses. I'm not talking about 737s and the other ones. I'm not talking about those big ones. Just average. An average 747 weighs about 400,000 kg. 400,000 kg. Now, that's just the size, the weight of the plane. Then you now add human beings to it. Are you still there, somebody? The average human being here weighs about 75 kg, am I right? Yes. Because of a bam, padded yam. You know what I'm talking about? So we have a lot of weight. Right. So let's add another, say, 100,000 kg, making it 500,000 kg. Then, if it is a flight that is going to Nigeria, you and I know that Nigerians are the only human beings in the world whose carry-on luggage is people's checked-in luggage. The average Nigerian has 5 bags, heavy-duty bags. That one that they call hand luggage is Oyibo people's hand. That one they call hand luggage, the weight of it is what Oyibo people check into the plane. Who knows what I'm talking about? If the flight is coming to Nigeria, they had another 100,000 kg to it. That is just 747, not a 737, not an Airbus, normal small airline. So, averagely, you have 600 kg of weight about to take off. There is law of gravity. And so you notice that when the plane is about to take off, he first waits. By the time he positions himself at the runway, he waits. And as he waits, you will hear a second engine you didn't know before start. Suddenly, the noise starts going on. And right where the plane is vibrating. Who knows what I'm talking about? You know why it's gathering all that energy? It's gathering all that energy because it's about to break the norm. It's about to break the law. That plane is right now about to defy the odds of gravity. There's a law that says everything that goes up must come down. This plane is about to tell that law, not only will I go up, I will stay up, and I will land in the proper destination. I don't know who you are, but I came to announce to you and prophesy over you, nothing will stop your going up. Nothing will stop your staying up. Nothing will stop you from landing in your destination. No devil will stop you. No force will stop you. No power will stop you. No background will stop you. Number one, you will take off. Number two, you will stay up. Number three, you will arrive in your destination. Shout a better amen, somebody. So three things pilots will tell you. Number one, the plane must go through what they call a thrust. The thrust is that it gathers energy to be able to push because it knows what it's about to do is to carry 600 kg and be in the air. Number two, the pilot also knows that it's going to walk against the wind and walk against a law that says if you go, you must come down. And guess what? So there is a thrust, number one. But apart from the thrust, ladies and gentlemen, the plane must also do something that they call a drag. Everybody say drag. That drag simply means as it starts going, everything is saying you cannot go. So the plane experiences a drag. But in the middle of that drag, it spreads its wings. Wind comes under the wing. And guess what? It experiences a lift. So there is a thrust. There is a drag and there is a flight. Listen to this. Whatever is the trust, God will give you grace to trust in the name of Jesus. Whatever is the drag, I declare you will still lift in the name of Jesus. I can't hear your amen this morning. For time's sake, ladies and gentlemen, I want to announce that there are four major battles you must have to win
in order for you to fly. And this morning, first service, I'll take one. Second service, I'll take another one. Midweek service, I'll take another one. Next Sunday, I'll take the last one. Number one, what are the four major battles you need to fight in order for you to fly? Number one, you will fight against capacity deficiency. I'll take that on Wednesday. So long, I left it for Wednesday, so I have enough time to deal with it. But it's a very important one. So important. You will know why almost every plane uses the Rolls-Royce engine. You will know that because it has capacity. It has no other Lister engine cannot carry a plane. The only reason why they use Rolls-Royce is that that's one of the best engines ever in the world. All right? But we'll get that on Wednesday. Number two, we'll talk about, and that's what I'm going to deal with this service, the battle against spiritual opposition. And then we'll deal with the battle against lack of resources in second service. And then, and so on and so forth. I don't have time. Let's quickly, 3 minutes, Holy Spirit. How do we do this? Okay. Wherever I stop, I stop. The battle against, let's quickly go straight, ladies and gentlemen. The battle against spiritual opposition. Everybody say spiritual opposition. I can't hear you say spiritual opposition. How did I spend my entire sermon time doing introduction? Okay, I summarize for time's sake. Are you still there, somebody? Judges chapter 6 will give you the picture. Judges 6, if you read on 12 to 14 and 24 to 26. Don't show me any scripture. I don't have time to read. Here was a man called Gideon. God appeared to him and said, Gideon, I want you to be the one to represent Israel and go over and fight the Amalekites now? Huh? The Midianites. And so on. And Gideon said, I think it's a wrong address you came to. Because I'm not only am I from the least tribe, inside that tribe, my family is the poorest and the least. And even me inside the family, I'm even the least of people in the family. So, by the way, you're saying you are a God of this, God of that. If you have all these things, you say, so what happened to all those miracles we used to hear, read about in the Bible? Pastor used to tell us in church, why don't we see them again? And so, and he said, go in this, your might. He says, you are a mighty man of valor. Based on this information you have, you are a mighty man. It is you I want to send. And Gideon started laughing and said, okay, no problem. Since you said it, I'll go. If anything happens to me, we'll hold you responsible. And as he was about to go, God called him back and said, no, before you go, return back to your father's house. He said, there's an altar there. If you don't take down that altar, that's what made your father small, made your uncle small. That's how your grandfather could not rise beyond this particular level. If you don't bring that altar down, first of all, this journey you're about to embark upon, you will end up with your own results. I came to announce to somebody in the name that is above every name, every spiritual opposition that stopped others in your family will not stop you in the name of Jesus. I reject that amen. I said, everything that made your father small, made your elder brother small, made your uncle small, made your grandfather small, you will not die small in the name of Jesus Christ. Let that altar catch fire in the name of Jesus. Let it catch fire in the name of Jesus. Let it catch fire in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I cannot hear your amen. I wish I had time. But ladies and gentlemen, what are these spiritual opposition? What do they do in your life? Number one, please note, spiritual oppositions can render a well-equipped man look impotent. And guess what? How do you know they have spiritual opposition? Nothing is working. Because something is working against them. Every effort they make is not working. Like we read about in Isaiah chapter 5. I've planted, I've watered, I've done everything. I was expecting to see grapes. By the time I look at it, all I saw was wild grapes. I've done everything I should do. But Pastor, I can't explain why my results are different from my investment. Are you still there, somebody? Nothing frustrates destiny like when you know what you are doing, but you don't know what is doing you. I've tried my best, Pastor. You said fast, I fasted. Pray, I pray. You said do this. I've done everything. Gentlemen, there is a resistance that we will deal with in this service. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, most of the times, is that when you know all the efforts you have put in, and yet nothing is coming out of it, it makes you frustrated in life, and that is why God has brought you into a meeting like this. Ladies and gentlemen, what are some of those things that resist us? Number one of them, the resistance of iniquity. I don't know why my slides are not being shown. Everything I'm saying here are on slides, but apparently the person showing the slides is either ignorant or sleeping. I don't know what's going on. There are resistance of evil altars, resistance of witchcraft, resistance of curses, and so on and so forth. But ladies and gentlemen, the sad part of it is this. Every time there are spiritual opposition or resistance, three things happen. Number one, it's called destiny weakness. Everybody say destiny weakness. I can't hear you say destiny weakness. For the last time, say destiny weakness. Ladies and gentlemen, when you have tried the same thing over and over and over again, and nothing seems to be working, the next time they say, try it, guess what happens? You don't have the boldness to do it. Say, Pastor, I've done it before. This thing you're talking about, I did it before. 2013, I did it. 2020, I did it. It lists about destiny weakness every time you are suffering from a spiritual opposition. Number two, spiritual opposition will orchestrate cycles, weevil cycles and embargoes, evil cycles and embargo, evil cycles and embargo. What it simply does, it places a ceiling on you. It just places a ceiling. And this is what it says. It says, you know what? You will never rise beyond 75,000 naira. So guess what? Suddenly you get a breakthrough. Pam! 2 million. You just finished testifying about the 2 million. By the time you are getting home, there are 5 missed calls from village waiting for you. Come on, are you still there, somebody? By the time you say, let you respond to the calls, first one took 500,000. Second call took 150,000. The third call took 200,000. By the time you are done, you just notice your account balance is 75,000. There is a ceiling that says it doesn't matter the breakthrough you get, you must reduce back to 75,000. You are the one who has worked longest in the office, but you are the one who doesn't get promoted. And the moment a particular boss falls in love with you and says, I will help you. I hear you've been in this department for long. Don't worry. That's why God sent me. I will help you. The next thing you notice is that, Pam, they posted him to Udi or Unsuka. And then they now bring one other one that, as soon as he saw your face, he said, as long as I'm alive, get your promotion. Let me see you now. It's his sole responsibility is to make sure you don't move. It's called a spiritual embargo. It's a ceiling. It's that thing that allows them to propose to you, do introduction, do every other thing until wedding date is fixed. Bam! As soon as wedding date is fixed, he loses his job. Quarrel begins. He gets an accident. Then one prophet tells him, ha, this girl you want to marry in a while. And it's not a one-off thing. You've noticed the same pattern has happened before. The embargo says you can propose, you can do introduction, but wedding, absolutely not. This morning, I put on my prophetic mantle and I declare every embargo in your life, every evil cycle that has repeated itself, by the hand of God upon my life and this altar, let it be broken, let it be shattered, let it be lifted. Embargo taken away in the name of Jesus, scattered in the name of Jesus. Can I hear a loud amen? Talamoko Shinda. Number three. Spiritual opposition will always mobilize strange afflictions, strange attacks, strange battles around your life. It will always orchestrate strange battles, strange attacks all over your life. That is why in Isaiah 52 verses 1 and 2, Isaiah 52, 1 and 2, give it to me quickly. I want to make sure I don't exceed, I know I'm already 4 minutes, but I'm going to quickly get out of your face. Isaiah 52, 1 and 2, awake! Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. And please follow me. It says, for henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Verse 2 is my emphasis. Verse 2, shake yourself. Everybody say, shake yourself. Shake yourself from the dust. You've been through this affliction. You've been through this attack long enough. Shake yourself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bands of thy neck. I declare this morning, shake yourself in the name of Jesus. This morning, I declare, rise out of the dust in the name of Jesus. This morning, I declare, sit down in victory in the name of Jesus. This morning, let every band around your neck, everything that has brought pain, affliction, and you are just going from one affliction, one trouble to another trouble. You go from spiritual opposition, distractions, and all kinds of inexplicable problems. You just keep losing stuff, losing stuff. I came to prophesy over you. Let that cycle stop in the name of Jesus. Let the attacks and affliction end in the name of Jesus. Bands upon your neck broken in the name of Jesus. Can I hear a loud amen? Can you lift up your right hand and repeat after me? Say, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Satan, I confront you. You will never use me for lunch. From today, I'm not crawling on the floor. I'm taking my flight. Say, I'm taking my flight. Say, Satan, you are my worst nightmare.
So I'm your worst nightmare. Say, I'm your worst nightmare. I am your worst nightmare. You won the battles over my family, but you cannot win it over me. Everybody in my family went down for you, but not me, in the name of Jesus. Say, not me, in the name of Jesus. Say, I'm the exception to the rule. I'm the exception to the rule. Say, others were small, I will not be small. Others did not make it, I will make it. Say, I'm rising above the norm. I'm breaking the barrier. I'm lifting the embargo. I am moving forward.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Finally, Pastor, how do you break away from this bondage? I'm leaving out a lot of things because of my time, and I really don't want to take more time than I should. How do I break away from this bondage? And I only give you one point, and I'll get out of your face. Decide to rise and shine. Decide to rise and shine. Decide to rise and shine. It says, arise, shine, for the light, your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. All I need you to make in this season is a decision. I've suffered enough. Pastor, I know this word is for me. I know you are just dialing my number. You are just irritating me with this sermon this morning. You are speaking about the concerns of my heart and the worries on my ninth time when I cannot sleep. But Pastor, this morning I have made up my mind. Awake! Shake off the dust from off you, O captive daughter of Zion. Take the chains from off your neck. I made up my mind. I want to beg you, listen to this. When we say come and pray, or we say we are doing 1 hour prayer, even if you cannot pray, even if you are feeling sleepy, put on that your telegram, whatever. Tune on to the prayer. Let other people be praying. Even if you are sleeping, something will be happening in your dream. Oh, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Listen to these guys. They say that the man, when we are shoe, I know where they pain them. For those of you that life looks perfect, this call may not be for you. But if there's anybody under the sound of my voice who knows that this is, I'm flying, but even doves are flying. Are doves not flying? Answer me, are doves not flying? But what Isaiah spoke about is mounting up with wings. That's a level where you're not even flapping any longer. You just mount up. You just spread the wings. You take advantage of the wind of grace. You know that once you spread, grace will carry you. Listen to this. The things that you are believing God for, your effort and your also will not give it to you. Oh, Jesus Christ. The kind of dream and vision you have, it is not more hard work, more sleepless night. He said it is vain for you to rise up early and go to bed late because he giveth his beloved sleep. That's why he says, accept the Lord, accept the Lord, accept the Lord, accept the Lord. Make up your mind. Enough is enough. I've crawled on the ground enough. Satan has used me for pepper soup long enough. I swear to God, this nonsense, this reproach, this abuse of my destiny stops from this month in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise on your feet. Rise on your feet. Even if I don't finish my sermon, it's okay. Rise on your feet. Lift up your right hand, say after me. Say, I make a vow to God and to myself. Life will not defeat me. Are you in church? You are annoying me by your response. Are you in church? Say, I make a vow to God and to myself. Life will not defeat me. Evil will not defeat me. I will not be a servant. I will not be a failure. I will not be poor. I will not be broke. Life will not defeat me. In the name of Jesus, I stand and I rise on the wings of grace. In the name of Jesus, I take my flight. I take my flight. I take my flight. I take my flight. Can you open your mouth and give me 60 seconds of prayer? Je pète le bon de robo bokose. Imprando zebedi carianto gredisa. Je brasco tali baranta. Griga gezule monte grebedia. A chopre que diga gazora. I santo breke tu seliba. Jandro zegedele. Imprende cosita pariante. Sholobos ke pelianto bracataya. Gilamando robo bokosete. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come and I said, in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Anybody flying in this place? Anybody taking flight in this place? Put those hands together. Let's celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Reverend Edwin Bayebo's messages, kindly log into www.hotrenugu.org/mp3. That is www.hotrenugu.org/mp3 to listen and or to download. Truly, the word works.